Assalamu alaikum and what's up everyone, and welcome to another episode of TG Let's Talk, where we talk photography, video, content, and everything in between. Today's episode is about how to buy a camera and what camera should you buy. I am your host, TG, and let's get right to it. Okay, so how to buy a camera and what camera should you buy? Jeez, this is it's a tough one, huh? So there's a lot of people out there that always ask, what camera should I buy? What is the best camera for me and things like that? And there isn't really any right answer. You know, there's no like, hey, you know, go buy this camera. These are suggestions and opinions. But there is a way where you can go about buying the right camera for you. You know, that's what matters most, because what's good for me might not be good for you. What works for me might not work for you. So buying a camera can sometimes be challenging and confusing, especially with every brand pushing and shoving their product in your face as being the absolute best in the market. Look, all cameras these days can do things that could not be done in the past. We are living in a time where technology is satisfying for many while keeping others hungry for more. So we're ahead of the curve, which is great news for all of you, because no matter what camera you end up with, it's gonna do something amazing. It's gonna do some amazing things. So that's excellent news. Now, I would like to begin by stating that I am a Sony ambassador and I shoot photography with only Sony's Alpha Pro Line camera. But that's not what this is about. I'm not here to tell you this is the model number that you should go by. No, not at all. I'm here to help you figure out how to go out and search for the right camera for you. One that you would definitely use and not have it sit on a shelf collecting dust because it's too big for what you wanted to do, or it's not the right situation for you, or whatever the case may be. Many people ask themselves the following before buying a camera. Usually they say, what camera should I buy? How much do I need to spend? Can it do everything? Now, if you've asked yourself those questions in the past, don't feel so alone. Don't feel bad, because you're not the only one. Many people ask themselves the same question. However, what you should be asking yourself is, what do I need it for? How much can I spend? What camera is right for me? These three questions are very important to help you figure out what you want to do next, right? But let's talk about a few different camera categories or options and go over the advantages and disadvantages of each to help you narrow down your search. Okay, so we got four different categories of cameras. We got compact, we got bridge, we got DSLR, and we got mirrorless. All right, so let's start with the compact. Now, it's pretty self-explanatory, but let's talk about it more in details. They are very small, lightweight, and easy to carry. The lenses don't interchange, but they protrude when in use and slide back in for an easy put-away situation, making it the most convenient camera to go out and shoot with. Now, those are the pros, all right? Small, compact, easy to carry, easy to put away. Let's talk about the cons a little bit. Because you can't change the lenses, you are only limited to the focal length that it comes with. And the zoom is usually digital and not optical. And of course, the aperture is usually restricted, which means they don't let in a lot of light. They don't let in as much light. So if you are in need of a camera for everyday casual use, for general photos, for your Instagram, or for your family, then it might be the right camera for you. But if you find yourself shooting in low light, by the way, means like we're shooting in dark areas or areas that are not well lit, low light situations, or you're doing some bird or wildlife photography, then you will find yourself not capturing the right photos. You're gonna sacrifice quality for sure. Now, these are budget cameras. They're very compact, very small. Easy to put in a pocket, easy to put in your purse, whatever, wherever you're going, wherever you're traveling. So you can capture things that are a step up from capturing it from your phone. You know, they're very nice, they're very handy. But they do have their limitations, like everything when you're on a budget or when you just try not to spend much. Now, you might not be on a budget. You might just say, hey, I want a small camera because I want to put it in my pocket or my purse when I travel, and that's what I want to do. Well, hey, you know what? This is perfect for you. This compact cameras. Okay, so you could look up compact cameras, and we'll talk about that in the end, how you can do that, and then see which one works for you. And that's the category, right? Moving on. Next category we have is bridge. What is a bridge camera? What is that? Sounds like something you cross over. Well, kind of. They are made to bridge the gap. Actually, that's what they're used for, bridging the gap between compact and DSLRs. They're very similar to compact cameras in the in the sense of sensor size, which means you won't get great low light photography out of them. However, they come with a built-in lens that can go pretty far out and still keep the size smaller than a DSLR. So you got this camera now that's bigger than a compact. It has a nice long lens. There are certain models that I've seen go up to 600. So they shoot from 70 millimeter to 600 centimeter. That's what 600 mm. That's way out there. So which is pretty cool, you know? Sensors are still small, so you're not going to get the highest quality. It's not going to work the best in low light situations, but it's smaller than a DSLR and it does the job for many, right? As far if you're looking for distance, you know. Okay, you still can't change the lens. They're built in, and the aperture is also limited to keep the camera as small as possible. So again, these are your limitations. You know, you can't mess with the aperture. It's going to stay the same. But hey, look, it's a step up. It's still a kind of it's a step up from the budget camera, from the compact. It's a little bit bulkier, not as big as the DSLR, but a little bit bulkier, and you got farther reach. Cool. Might be for you, might not be for you. Next section, we got DSLR. I'm sure you guys have heard this one a lot. This one's been around for a long time. They have been around for decades, and many professional photographers still rely on them today for day-to-day professional use. They work off of a reflective mirror system to bring in light and produce an image. That's what they do. You know, they got a mirror inside. That's how it works. That's what makes them really big and bulky. You could, you know, also because it doesn't use as much. I mean, there are some benefits. Here's some more benefits that we have. Because it doesn't use as much electronics as a compact and a bridge, you know, it actually you actually get phenomenal battery life out of it. This allows you to shoot all day. I mean, for many people at least, or for the better part of the day. So you get great battery usage out of it because there's not too many electronics going on. It has electronics in there, but there's not as many going on, which is so cool for not having to take so many batteries with you. Now, some drawbacks. The viewfinder is optical and not electric. What that means is you really need to have your settings dialed in properly, since it doesn't give you a real-time image and only a mirror reflection. So you really got to know what you're doing when you're shooting with a DSLR. You got to know the triangle, the triangle system. You have to know your ISO, your aperture, your shutter speed. These things are very important. They have to be dialed in right, or else your photos are going to be bad. All right, so that is one drawback. If you're a professional photographer, it's not a drawback. You know what you're doing anyway. You're shooting in manual and you're firing all day, amazing photos. It doesn't affect you at all. But so the viewfinder, if you're starting off, is optical. Very important that you know that. So you really got to know what you're doing when you're shooting with the DSLR. Compared to all other cameras, they are still massive in size and they take up a lot of space when traveling. So DSLRs are pro level cameras, most of them, not all of them. I'm sorry, let me take that back. If you could start going into the high-end, high-level professional size cameras, there are DSLRs that go way up there. They are very bulky, they're very big, and because they're very big and bulky, they're very heavy in size. The weight tends to really wear you down if you're traveling. So if you're going to Italy, if you're going to France, if you're going to Dubai, wherever you're going, and you're taking a DSLR with you, most likely you're taking other lenses, because with a DSLR, since there are many on a pro level, it's interchangeable lenses. So you got your 16-35, you got your 70-200, you got your 24-70, all of these lenses. And this camera, keep in mind, it's heavy. All right, so it's going to weigh you down. Keep that in the back of your mind. Moving on. Okay, mirrorless camera. What is a mirrorless camera? Well, okay, a mirrorless camera is like a DSLR, but without the mirror, giving you the name mirrorless. That's where it came from. Now, this allows the manufacturer to make the camera a lot smaller and lighter, and allowing a higher-end sensor that can potentially perform better in low light situations. Since there is no mirror, you are now looking at an electronic image displayed on the back of your camera and into your viewfinder. Now, this will allow you to see the results of your image based on the settings you dialed in prior to you hitting the shutter. What that means is, when you got your camera lined up and you're looking to adjust your settings, you can now see it in real time and say, oh, you know what, this is underexposed, or this is overexposed, or maybe I do want it underexposed by 2 stops, or whatever the case may be. But now you can see it in real time. You're no longer looking at a mirror. So you can change the lenses based on the photography that you are going out, that you're going to shoot, you know, from casual shooting to pro level, sports, wildlife, food, commercial, and more. You really, there's no limit. You can do it all. Because so many electronics are being used, now this is a drawback. This is a definite drawback. Because so many electronics are being used, the battery life is not as good as a DSLR. This is true. However, they've gotten better over the years. I can attest to that. They went from dying with 30 to 40 minutes to now lasting up to 3-4 hours or more. And if you're counting how many photos you can get out of it, yeah, you can get tons now. Now you can actually get thousands of photos. Without exaggeration, I use the Sony A7 R4, and I can hit the time-lapse button and get thousands of photos without killing the battery. That's huge. That's huge. Another drawback, though. So because so many electronics are being used, the battery life is not as good as a DSLR, but it's getting better. Another drawback is there's a lot of electronics in it again. So what that means is, the thing you got to worry about most is water. Now, not all mirrorless cameras are waterproof or water resistant. However, a lot of manufacturers have been making them a lot stronger or a lot better when it comes to getting wet. So it's no longer a major concern if you get a few droplets of water, if it rains lightly on it, it's okay. The weather seal is gotten way better. But DSLRs are still a level up as far as being waterproof, you know, so they still have an advantage there. We'll be back from a word from our sponsor. All right, moving on. So those are the categories. Now let me ask you guys a question. What would be the purpose of you buying this camera? Will it be mainly used for photography with video as an option? Or will it be used for video with photography as an option? Because that makes a difference, you know. For an example, you know, I'll put a brand out there. Blackmagic has a 6K and a 4K camera. If you buy this camera with photography in mind, you just messed up. Because it is a cinema camera. It's an entry-level cinema camera. Some may argue that it's higher than an entry-level, and I might agree with them at some point too, especially on the 6K one. It's not really a photographer's camera. You don't really get great images out of it, as opposed to buying a camera that's focused mainly on photography. You know, so that one is great for video, the Blackmagic 6K, Pocket 6K, Pocket 4K. Now, if you're looking at Sony, Nikon, Canon, Panasonic, any of these brands, then you'll start to see these brands actually have photographer cameras, photo line cameras, pro line, entry line cameras, entry level cameras. They have all levels for photography. So that's something that you want to look at. What type of photography will you shoot? This is going to make a big difference for you guys. This is what's going to help you choose between compact, bridge, mirrorless, DSLR. You know, look, if you're the type of person that takes casual shots, hey, you know what? Let's take it a step up. You're not listening to this podcast because you're a casual shooter. You want to take photos and you want to know what camera you should buy. Well, look, if you are taking Instagram photos and you have a budget that you have to stay around, then and you travel, so you do a lot of traveling, then maybe a compact camera might be the one for you. If the photos are just of you, yourself, or your partner, your friend, whoever you're traveling with, this is for Instagram, this is for social media, hey, you know what, then it's okay. A compact camera will do the job. And some compact cameras, you'll be surprised, they have some really, really good options. They've come a long way as well. All right, so that's one. You know, if you are a travel photographer that needs to step up your game and you take photos of landscapes, then I would recommend a mirrorless camera for you. In the mirrorless world, there's crop sensor and there's full frame. I didn't want to confuse you by adding those in there, but if you look at the crop sensors, they are a lot more affordable and the specs go really high up. So again, I'm more familiar with Sony. So Sony has the a6600, a6400. These are two recent ones. They shoot amazing photos and they're very compact and you can change the lenses. So those are cool to look at if you're looking at travel photography, mirrorless. Other brands such as Nikon and Canon, they also make mirrorless crop sensors as well. More affordable, interchangeable lenses. You can step up your game, get cool photos out of them. Cool, moving on. Now, these are very important questions. So again, the questions are, what would be the purpose of you buying this camera? Will it be used for photography or video or both? What type of photography will you shoot? You know, these are very important questions that you need to ask yourself before you spend the money, because you don't want to buy the wrong camera because it's the coolest or the most expensive or the cheapest and the most convenient. You really need to ask yourself, what will you do with it? A lot of people, I do workshops with Living the Lens, and I also do personal workshops. And I remember a while back, I was doing a private workshop with this young lady, and when she showed up to the location, she showed me this camera. She pulled out her camera. It was a Sony A7 R3 at that time, and she had a 1635G Master. She had a pretty expensive setup, a professional setup. So I asked her. I thought she was, you know, a pro user, and I said, "Hey, wow, this is, so you just bought this, right?" Didn't have a mark on it. She says, "No, I bought this a year ago, but when I turned it on, I was intimidated by the menu. I didn't know how to use it, so I didn't know what to do." So I said, "Wow, you know, this poor lady. She wanted the best, and I'm like that too. And I know many people out there are the same way. We sometimes want the best just because. Well, sometimes wanting the best just because is not really what's best for us. You know, I do recommend you start off with an entry level. If you really want to get into photography, learn, practice on it, take your game to the next level, and then start investing heavily if you truly, truly want to take it to the next level. You know, you really gotta do your research on it, guys. You know, I'm giving you tips on what you can do, how to research, you know, but you still have to go out there and research yourself. Now, we got all the categories, right? We figured it out. We know there's compact, we know there's bridge, we know there's DSLR, we know there's mirrorless. Great. We know what their purposes are. We know what this is for. How do I go buy one? Well, I'm going to tell you something. And this is something that you could take to the bank. You take yourself, as soon as we get out of this corona COVID situation, God willing, we will. Soon we will. You get in your car or your taxi or the bus, you go down to your local photography shop, you put the cameras in, you go in there and you say, "Show me the compact cameras. Show me the mirrorless cameras. Show me the DSLRs, whatever you want, whatever you're looking at, wherever you see yourself fit, because you've obviously done your research online first, right? That's what we should start. We should start online. Do our research, then we go down to the local store because we got the information. Now we want to see how it feels. Grab the camera, put it in your hand. They have them on display. They got demos everywhere. You could try them out. Take a few shots with it. Does it feel good? You know, when you hold the lens, if you're going for a mirrorless, does it feel right when you hold the lens and hold the camera? Is it too small or is it too big? You know, these are decisions that you have. These are things that you're going to compare and look at. Now, look, I have big hands. So I shoot with the Sony a7R IV, and I'll admit the a7R III, my pinky would dangle from the bottom because it was small. So I always had an L bracket on it to give me that extra inch, you know, just to give me that extra space. So this way my hand can fit right when I grip it. You should do the same. See how it feels in your hand. Maybe you don't want a camera that's too big. Maybe you want a camera that's smaller because you have smaller hands. And hey, that's what works for you, you know? You're a young lady and you don't want a huge camera on your side. You just want a nice, or maybe you're a young lady that loves to shoot with a big camera, so you want to look at the professional line stuff. So what I'm trying to say is go to the local store, check it out, see what you think, and then make your decision. And that's after you've done all your research and figured out pricing and where your category is, and you know what your budget is, you know where you fit. Go look at those cameras, then make your decision. I hope that helps, guys. If you have any questions about cameras, about your DSLR, about which camera to buy, feel free to shoot over to Instagram. Drop me a message. Drop me a DM at TG from Dubai. That's my Instagram handle. That's TG from Dubai. Shoot me a message. I'll be happy to answer your question. And I hope this was very informative. Thanks for tagging along, guys. And I will catch you on the next one.